Good morning and welcome to the Abundant Living Radio broadcast. My name is Tim Huth and I pastor the Stowe Falls Baptist Church in Cuyahoga Falls. This morning we'll have our Bibles open in Luke chapter 22 for a message entitled The True Passover. Again, good morning. I'm glad you're able to listen to the broadcast this morning. We're in Luke chapter 22, and where we'll pick up this narrative is when this actually takes place, the night that Jesus is arrested. We know that after he's arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, he is taken through six separate, what we would call trials today, where he is presented as someone who has done wrong, and so they look for evidence. We know that they never found any evidence that Christ had ever done anything wrong at all, yet they still proceeded to take him and to crucify him. But we know that God always has better plans for us than we have for ourselves, and you would say, well, there was an unjust thing that took place to the Lord Jesus Christ, and certainly that is true, but God was working a much greater plan. Shortly before Christ was arrested, he gathered with his disciples in the upper room, and for a scene which we typically call the Last Supper. The word supper was not only a reference to them sitting down and eating a meal, but it was talking about the sharing of the Passover, what we would, in the Christian church today, we would call the Lord's Supper or the Lord's Table, or the term communion is what they were doing there together. And so that's not to be confused with the sacrament. And we'll explain that in just a little bit. But the Lord had instructed the disciples to go find a room and to make ready for the Passover. And they did. It was an upper room, the Bible says. And they made it ready. Well, verse number 13 of Luke 22, we'll begin reading. It says, "And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And just to pause for a moment and just remember and just realize that we're reading these words today, 2013. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke these in the upper room just a few hours before he was arrested. And he tells the disciples that with desire, this is his own desire, this is his own heart. And we know that Jesus was not just a man. He was called the Son of Man, but that's because that he was born of a virgin and he had a human body, a human life. But we know that he is God eternal. The Bible says that God has manifested himself or made himself known in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ, God the Son, left heaven's glory, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life. This is the life of Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. And he says that in his heart he has had desire to eat this Passover with the disciples. The Passover, what is it? Well, first of all, the Passover was only a picture all the way through the Old Testament of what God would someday perform for the people. The Passover was something that God taught Moses, and as he was going to deliver the nation of Israel out of the Egyptian bondage. Now, in the Bible, in the Old Testament times, the nation of Israel, or the nation of Egypt, when we are introduced to it, was a place where Israel was held in bondage. And generally, the first usage, the first time something shows up in the Bible, sets a pattern. Many times we can understand that Egypt has been a pattern of bondage and also in the Old Testament a picture of the world. And so we would understand that. Israel, God's chosen nation, was in bondage in Egypt. And God said that I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to deliver you. And so he sent Moses. Moses went and he preached to Pharaoh. He instructed him that it was God's will that Pharaoh let God's people go. Pharaoh hardened his heart, and through multiple miracles that God performed through the hand of Moses, Pharaoh refused to let God's people go. And so the last through 10 plagues, the last, the Lord said that if Pharaoh refused to let the nation of Israel go, that he was going to sweep through, the angel of the Lord was going to come through the land of Egypt, and he would kill the firstborn of every family and of every flock, every herd. And Pharaoh refused, so God commanded that he was going to send the death angel through. Now, what God did to make provision were for those who would choose to put their faith in God, to believe God. He said that if they would take a lamb, a spotless lamb, and they would kill that lamb, and they would take the blood of the lamb, and they would put it on the side doorpost and on the lintel, that'd be the top, across the top of the door. If they would put that blood on the door, the blood of that lamb, when the death angel would come through, and he was going to come through at the midnight, when the angel saw the blood, he would pass over that house. And so the death sentence had gone out. No one was immune to it. God is not a respecter of persons. But he said the way to avoid that death is to take the blood of the lamb, place it on the doorpost and on the head of the door, and God said he would pass over them. So the word Passover is a term that most have heard, and but maybe this morning as we discuss that, you can't associate what does that mean? What does it represent? It represents God passing over judgment because the blood of the lamb was placed on the doorposts of the houses. Anyone in Egypt? Well, the Israelites, many of them obeyed. And sure enough, when the death angel came, every house that had the blood upon the doorpost and on the door lintel, the death angel passed over. But any house that did not was visited, and the firstborn died in that house, and even to Pharaoh's own household. And so it was a tragic night. Well, at that point, Pharaoh just about threw the Israelites out. And so they were delivered. They were delivered through the Passover. Now, that was the Passover. In a broader sense, the Passover was a picture of something that would take place later on in history. A picture when the true Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, would have his body broken, killed, just like the Lamb. His blood would be shed and would be placed for the payment of our sin. And then death would pass over, the second death. I'm going to explain those things in just a moment. But I want you to see this in Luke chapter 22 in the Bible. Jesus says that he's eating this Passover. And so the Passover was a picture. And so the elements of the Passover were an unleavened bread, a bread with no leaven. Leaven in the Bible is a picture of sin. So this is this bread is unleavened. It's a picture of the spotless lamb. And so in the Old Testament, it would have been that physical lamb was supposed to be without spot, without blemish. In the New Testament, this is a picture of the body of Jesus Christ, the sinless body, his sinless body that would be offered and that would be broken, literally killed on the cross, and as the true Lamb of God. The second element of the Passover was the blood. And so Christ implemented the fruit of the vine. We'll look at that. And so it's wine, but he distinguishes the fruit of the vine being that it was fresh, unfermented. It was without fermentation. It was pure. And it was a picture of his sinless blood that would be offered for the payment of our sins. And so he sits down with these disciples. And then in verse number 17, it says, he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this, divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And so they took the cup together and they drank it. This picturing the blood of Christ that would be shed for their sin. And then he says in verse number 19, he took the bread and gave thanks, break it, and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And so they took the bread and they each were able to eat of that. Verse number 20, likewise also the cup after supper, saying, the cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. And so he institutes this celebration for them and shows them, this is what I want you to understand about the Passover. What I want you to understand is that it had a picture. There was a picture there, and that this broken body and this shed blood for the payment of sin would be necessary for the salvation, for the deliverance of sinners. And the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. So if the question were asked, who needs to be saved? Every person. Every person needs to be born again. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So salvation is something that everyone needs. Now, not everyone knows that they need salvation. Not everyone believes that they need salvation. But God in heaven says that every person must be saved. And so there's the truth of the gospel that is preached. And somebody say, well, what does it take to be saved? The Passover teaches us what it means, what's required for salvation. And so we understand the Old Testament, the lamb had to be provided, the lamb had to be spotless, the lamb had to be killed, and the blood had to be shed. And that pictured that Christ would someday come. In verse 16, it says, Jesus says, for I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof, he's referring to the Passover, until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And I've circled that word it in my Bible. And I said, what is it? What is he referring to? He says he's no longer going to celebrate this Passover until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. The it is the true Passover. The true Passover. See, the Passover in the Old Testament, the sacrifices in the Old Testament, the feasts, the festivals, all of that, the tabernacle, the ministry of the high priest, the brazen altar where the sacrifice was burned, the laver of washing, the candlesticks, the showbread, the altar of incense, the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, all of these items, all of this work was all a picture of what God was someday going to do to provide permanent salvation for every person. And so Christ has come to be the true Passover. He is the true Passover lamb. He will be the one. When John the Baptist first saw Jesus walking down towards the Jordan River, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And friends, we all need someone to take our sin away for us. And so there, this world is full of religions. And oftentimes people say there are so many religions. How do you know which one is right? I tell you, the only one that can be right is the one who believes that Jesus Christ truly is the Son of God and that he has come into this earth to become the Lamb of God so that he could provide the necessary payment for our sin so that we could become the children of God. That is true religion. True religion is Jesus Christ. And it's not only a religion, it is a relationship where we could have our sins taken away and we could have peace with God and we could be brought into his family as his children. And so that is the truth. And so people say, well, that's crazy. Whether you believe it's crazy or not, it is true. Jesus Christ came into this earth to provide salvation for every person. And so the true Passover, this is the interesting part, is it's exciting really, that when Christ went to the cross of Calvary, he went there as the Lamb of God. And when his body was put onto that tree, it literally was broken. Just like that bread in the Passover supper, just like the bread was broken. It was a picture of Christ's body being broken. It was broken for us. Jesus said in verse number 19, this is my body which is given for you. Boy, it is so tender how the Lord would help us to realize they didn't take Christ by force. He did not have to go with them. He willingly went. He went because the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Christ didn't go to the cross kicking and screaming and dragging and trying to escape. He willingly went and he willingly surrendered himself and he gave up the ghost so that he could provide the true Passover. Because when he was killed on that cross, he took his shed blood right into the heavenly tabernacle Not the one in the Old Testament that was made a tent. Not the temple, Solomon's temple or Herod's temple. He went into the true tabernacle in heaven. And he took his blood, the blood of the spotless Lamb of God, and he placed it on the mercy seat. And when that blood went on the mercy seat, sin was paid for permanently for anyone who would come through Jesus Christ. Jesus preaching, he said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved." Why Christ? Because Christ was the Lamb of God. He was the sacrifice. He was the perfect, sinless sacrifice for our sin. And somebody says, "Well, I'm just going to try to be a good person, and I'm going to go to heaven by being a good person." You cannot. You would have had to be perfect from birth. You would have had to be sinless your whole entire life. And a friend, is as sincere as somebody may be, and as honest as they can try to be, there's not one person that can say, "I've never sinned." There's not one person that can represent themselves as being sinless. Now, certainly there are some that have sinned more than others. There is no doubt about that. But God never talked about the amount of sin. He talked about the existence of sin, the reality of sin. And one sin makes you a sinner. One sin brings you short of the glory of God. You say that's not fair. Friend, fair or not, it's the truth. And God is holy and he's righteous. And he says that sin will not dwell in him or with him. The Bible says God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And in the true tabernacle in heaven, sin will never enter. You can never enter and make sacrifice for yourself, because the fact that you're a sinner disallows you to ever enter into God's presence. But when Christ went in, he went in as our substitute. He went in my place. The sinless Savior, the sinless Son of God, he went into that true tabernacle, into the presence of our holy and righteous God, and he took his blood, not my blood, not my sacrifice, because I'm a sinner, I cannot, my sacrifice is no good. But he went in with his own blood, and he placed it on the mercy seat, and the satisfaction of sin was made with the blood of Jesus Christ. And so now God says, "I will forgive you by grace if you will put your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ." God says, "I will accept the sacrifice of Christ. If you would put your faith in him, then he would forgive your sin." And so I'm thrilled to tell you this morning that the greatest decision I ever made in my life was to put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been called crazy. I've been called a lot of names. But I tell you what, none of those bother me even the least little bit, because I know when Jesus hung on that cross, he hung for me. When they were beating him because my sin put him there. And whenever they were mocking him because my sin put him there. And when he died for my sin. When he was buried, he was buried with the death I should have been buried. When he rose again, he provided salvation for me, and I just can't stop being excited about what Christ has done for me. And this is why we will preach the gospel. We will continue to preach the gospel. We're not going to tell people, "Hey, if you go to church, you can be saved." You cannot be saved by going to church. Church membership will never make you a Christian. Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sin. That is the only acceptable payment. God will not accept church membership as payment for sin. And the majority of people that go to church today, doesn't matter what denomination it is, doesn't matter what religion it is, most believe that what they're doing is the means that they are providing salvation for themselves. And friend, that is the biggest lie that people have ever believed, because there's nothing you can do to be born again. You can't do it. You are a sinner. You can't do it. The priest can't do it. The pope can't do it. The preacher can't do it. The evangelist can't do it. Nobody can provide salvation but the Son of God, but God himself, holy, righteous Jesus Christ. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And it's by grace that we're saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God Himself said He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But He didn't say, go and get baptized to wash your sins away. He didn't say, create a system of religion, of sacraments, where you could do these religious acts and works and have your sin taken away. And today we have, standing all over the planet, we've got men who call themselves priests, who will involve themselves in the Mass and in the sacrament, and they will take a piece of unleavened bread and they will pray in what is called transubstantiation. They believe that the power of God transforms that wafer into the literal body of Christ, and then people take that body and they take it, they take that piece of bread, which represents in their belief the body of Christ, they take it into them and they say they're receiving Christ. And then He takes the wine, and it's blessed, and it's turned into the literal blood of Christ, and they drink that, and they're receiving Christ that way. And a friend, that's an abomination. Christ Himself, the true Passover, went into the heavenly tabernacle after having sacrificed His own body being broken on the cross. The Passover was never to be taken as the literal body and the literal blood. It's the picture of the body of Christ someday that would be broken on the cross, and the blood of Christ someday that would be spilled for the payment of sins. And Christ went into that holy tabernacle in heaven, and He presented Himself as the payment of that sin, and He put His blood on the mercy seat, and that sin was washed away forever for those who would put their faith in Him. And so the book of Hebrews says that for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of those things, because the Bible says those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually could never make the comers thereunto perfect. That's Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. And it's the same thing that's taking place in these churches today, where people are doing the religious acts for salvation. And some it's prayer, some it's baptism, some it's the sacrament of communion. Others it's the speaking in tongues, and for some it's just the working for the Lord and doing all these things and all the service. Those things could never make the people perfect. None of that law, none of that Old Testament could ever do that. None of that could ever make them perfect. But the Bible says in verse 9 of Hebrews 10, then said He, talking about Christ, lo, I come to do Thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that He may establish the second. And so the first, what is that? That's the first law. That's the Old Testament law. That's all the keeping of the law and the people trying to do all these kind of things. Jesus said, I'm taking that away and I'm going to fulfill the second. The second is when the true Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, would come, and He would provide the true payment for sin, His own broken body on the cross, His own death for our sin, the shedding of His own blood for the payment of our sin, His burial, His resurrection, His offering true salvation through Him. That is the New Testament. That's the New Testament. Verse number 10 of Hebrews 10 says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Do you hear that? The offering of the body of Christ once for all. Not every Mass, not every week, not every time somebody goes to church, not every time that we do a good work, not every time that we confess our sin. The body of Christ was offered once for all. Verse number 11 says, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Now that's a reference to the Old Testament priest. They would daily make these sacrifices, but they could never take away people's sins. That's the same thing that's happening today in churches across the world. People are coming into what they're calling a sanctuary. They're going to what they're calling an altar. They're standing before what they believe is a priest, and another sacrifice is being made. And God said those sacrifices could never, not in the past, not present tense, or in the future, could never take away sin. But this man, verse 12, Hebrews 10 says, but this man, talking about Christ, after He had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. That is exciting, friend. Christ, after He sacrificed Himself, He offered it, and He sat down forever, forever at the right hand of God. From henceforth, verse 13, henceforth means from now on, expecting till His enemies be made His footstool. And that is a reference to Psalm 110, where God someday will make His enemies, the footstool of Christ. Verse 14, for by one offering He, that's Jesus, hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Friend, I want you to hear this morning again. One sacrifice, one offering, Jesus perfects forever them that are sanctified. What does that mean? Well, the one offering was himself. He offered himself. The perfecting is that when a person comes to him by faith, they put their faith in Christ, they are washed, the Bible says, of their sin. They are perfected. They are clean. And that is permanent forever. Well, friend, we are out of time this morning. I would love to go on. I think I've already gone a little longer than normal. So if you have any questions, you can give us a call. But God bless you. You have a great day. Well, God bless you, friend, this morning for listening. I know there was a lot that was said. If you have any questions or comments, you could call us at area code 330-688-7437. And I hope you have a blessed day.